Hey, Rhett. How are you?
We're all here.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, happy crazy day, huh?
Yeah.
I know. It is what it is, right?
Yeah, I don't get... You know, due to the advent of financial planning and fee-based business and my planning where we meet on a regular basis, I swear to God, Rob, we're sitting in the office. The phones aren't ringing.
That's the way it's supposed to be. That's supernova.
Well, but I think, yes, and also the change in the industry itself, because I remember when I got started in the 90s, a day like today where it would have been down 1% or 3%, their phones would have been ringing off the hook.
Right. No, I think it's a much more disciplined investor population. And that's good. It's all good.
Yeah, I
we'll
think
let
so.
We'll let the flash traders take care of the rest of it.
I guess. Hell, I got two stocks up right now, buddy.
You're
oh,
the only,
sorry.
Only one.
I'm sorry. Sorry, gold. It's only one now. It's only one.
It went quick.
Gold stock.
No,
gold?
Verizon.
Really?
Yes, it's up almost a dime.
Everybody needs their cell phone.
No,
excellent relative strength.
I think people just like the fact it's a 4-plus dividend, but I don't know. But I got one client where I recommended that because he was on margin that he reduce his position in Netflix. He decided against it. I think he might be regretting that now, but who knows? Anyway.
Margin is a double-edged sword.
It sure is. I keep trying to tell him that. He's only experienced one edge. That's up. You know, he was up better than 40% last year. You know, because my equity clients as a group were up 25 to 30. He jacked in some margin and did substantially better than that. But I said the last time we had a conversation about this stock, we said we were going to sell it when it hit the mid, got into the mid 380s, and it's there. Well, I think it could go higher. That's the point. Anyway. That's not why you're calling. You're here to tell me and go over how we screw up our supernova and our leadership and how that, right? Week 11?
No. Well, I keep getting confused as to whether we're in 10 or 11. My count is 10, but she keeps putting 11 on me.
Yeah, we just got a notice on Thursday that you wanted to go over 11. It was... My count was 10 as well, but I jumped ahead because I thought I'd screwed up.
Yeah, me too. But I think we're still on 10, so we'll cover 10.
Okay.
10's everything that we haven't covered in terms of skill training having to do with growth, which is the biggest industry challenge. You know, the industry has some challenges. Biggest challenge they have is failure to grow. Failure to launch. And, you know, there's 7 ideas in the supernova multiplier, and there's 4 in today's lesson. So I cover a lot of ground, which I'm not even going to attempt to cover the whole ground today. But I want you to know, you know, we've talked about centers of influence, niches, mastermind groups. We've talked about niche mastermind groups, centers of influence inside niches. And today we talk about how do you get more introductions from your existing clients.
Right.
Involvement in the community and the long-term benefit of that. Use of social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and then how to deal with difficult clients or ones that are hard to close. And that's our 90-day free look. So
a 90-day, you have to forgive me, I did 11, so you're going to have to, what is a 90-day free look?
The 90-day free look is, if you're going to buy a Mercedes, you would not buy it without driving it. And so, you know, that's an expensive car, spend a lot of money, but we have got, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that we turn over to somebody, but we actually don't know what they do.
Well, how
so
do you
give them a free look
or something like that? You give them a free
90 days. They become a client for 90 days.
Well, how do they do that if their assets aren't here?
Well, what you do is you do an agenda, you do a call, and you do an executive summary.
In dealing with their portfolio, they have to be willing then, though, at least to give you what their current holdings are, correct?
Yeah, you do a mini financial plan. You know what their holdings are, and
correct.
You treat them as if they were already a client.
So the idea is that the service will bring them in, not necessarily
That's
the
correct.
Performance, because a 90-day bet
right.
on whether or not their portfolio goes up or down compared to what
right.
whatever is not a bet.
You're not gonna, you're really not going to tell them to do anything having to do with their portfolio. You might question a few things.
Okay.
Raise some issues.
All right.
But you're not going to tell them to do something because you don't know everything yet. You need to do a complete financial plan. You need to spend some more time on it. But basically, the idea is that they're hearing from, when do they hear from their advisor?
I would guess quarterly at best, never at worst.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So 1242 is going to be foreign to them until they have it happen. They've never had somebody say, take the Mercedes and drive it.
Okay.
They've just said,
What is the reaction? In your experience, what is the reaction of the client that you make that offer to? Are they thrilled with the idea, or they look at you like you've got two heads?
Well, the advantage is that you're going to clarify your relationship, right?
No, I know that the advantage would be. I'm asking what their reaction to it is, typically. Your feedback from the advisors who've used Supernova and done the 90-day free look, do they...
Well, one of the things you do is you hand them a folder, already done.
Okay.
And say, here is your folder if you should choose to be a client. What I'd like to propose is that we do a 90-day free look. So you find out what it's like to be a client before you ever have to transfer your assets.
All right.
And they go, wow. And they go wow.
So that's what I'm trying to get at. Do they go, wow, or do they go, why the hell am I doing that?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Let's assume you're talking to somebody. Here's the typical situation. They like you. They trust you. They want to move their account, but their present financial advisor was their fraternity brother
or
50 years ago.
Or even maybe a long-term relationship that they're not completely satisfied with.
Well, in fact, they're very dissatisfied in many cases, but they just don't move because they don't. So what you're doing is every decision is like Miss Justice standing up there with her scale. And on one side is you putting the rational reasons why you should move, and the other side is the reasons he shouldn't move. And so what you do is you kind of put your finger on the scale. You load up the scale on your side to give them rational reasons why they should move. Because what do you normally do? What can you do? You just hope they transfer, right? You wait it out.
Morgan Stanley, this is Robin. May I help you?
Get off the phone, Robin, you goofball.
Don't
That was funny.
Robin's getting swamped with phone calls. Apparently,
poor
somebody
Robin.
Looked at the market's down 800 points.
Anyway, so do you see the rationale?
None of them,
you see how?
Sorry.
So one guy in California does. One guy in California does this all the time.
What? Oh, the 90-day free look.
Yep, uses it a lot. I had one guy do it with a $10 million client. In fact, that's how it. It's a weird story, but anyway, it takes too long. But anyway, he tried it. It worked. He came back, was ecstatic.
Okay.
Anyway.
So 90-day free look.
Has anybody ever given you that idea?
No.
Okay. Therefore, it is a new idea and one worth trying.
Okay.
But it won't work. It won't work unless you try it.
Yeah.
So just make a commitment to me that you'll try it.
I will try it.
Okay. Yes, I will try it. I'm writing that down.
You try it. Actually, that makes a lot of sense to me. If they don't look at you like you're absolutely got five heads.
Well, why would they? Why would they? You're offering them something for free.
Mike,
okay?
I don't think that they'll have an issue with it. I said that was the only. I think they'll be anxious
they
to give it a try if they really want to move.
They will be just as surprised as you are.
Yes.
You have surprise. They will have surprise.
Yeah.
But it's a good surprise. And after 90 days, they'll say, you've talked to me more than my other guy has in 2 years. Why should I stay with him?
Right.
He's a jerk, right?
Yes.
He's a jerk. And you send him, and you do it right. You send him an agenda for the call, confirm the appointment, and then send them an executive summary of what you discussed and what you agreed to. I don't think it'll take you three calls. So you do two calls and then an in-person. The third one's the in-person.
So you don't, even though you're offering them a 90-day free look, your experience is that they don't need the 90 days to actually make up their mind.
That's right. When they realize what you're actually going to do for them and then you do it once, it's usually enough. But if not, go with the whole thing. Stop at 90 days, though.
Okay.
And then how do you have that conversation after 90 days?
Well, that I get. You have a 90-day conversation that says, how did you like it? They're going to say yes, they loved it. Then they get them in, I would think. And
yeah, you
if
close
they don't
them
like
or you
it,
don't. They say, you know what? I can't pull the trigger. You go, you know what? We love you. We know where you are. You know where we are. When you're ready, call them. Yeah. Game over.
Yeah. And then you're not wasting any more time. You take them off your prospect list or keep them on. I would think there's such a thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why would you want to waste time prospecting a guy that isn't going to leave for whatever reason?
Right. It's fill or kill. It's like people say to me, I had trouble getting rid of some of these clients because they're, they may hit the lottery or something. I said, look, well, here's a much more realistic one. Guy's got $5 million but won't listen to you, right? He just uses you as a checking account, makes a trade every now, buys some munis. Forget it. He does nothing. You're a broker. And you go and you call him up and have dinner and say, hey, here's what we're doing. Financial plan, 12-4-2, rapid response, and fees. And we're charging fees now. And he goes, that's great. I'm all in. I needed this. Or, nah, I'm not so much. And you go, I love you. I'll find you a new guy.
Okay. What do you do with the client that does do what you say, but and I'm thinking of one in specific. Okay, and I know that she's been a client of mine since the first year I got in the business. She's always done everything I said. But when I started the business, I was not a fee-based platform.
Right.
And she has a very good, well-balanced portfolio of mutual funds that I do get to change from time to time, but I cannot convince her to go fee-based. Because and she's got a good argument, because the funds have done well, she's got a massive
right.
amount of capital gains, and she knows she's paying 25 bips in trailers, you know, in these funds. She is very reluctant to go to fee-based. And I can't really blame her, because I'm going to quadruple her quadruple her cost. And I don't know if I'm going to dramatically outperform, because I did such a good job establishing the mutual funds.
Okay. So I'm going to whisper this to you, okay?
Okay.
I would make her a
You're freaking me out a little bit now, Rob. Okay, go ahead. I'm leaning in close.
Right. I would make her a butler.
Okay. Okay. I was hoping you were going to say something like that, because I wouldn't have had the balls to kick her to the curb.
No, no.
I like her. I like her a lot. And she's she's a $900,000 account now. You know, and we started off at five.
Right. You know what I would do with her, though?
What?
I'd make her give me an introduction.
Okay. All right. I can do that.
I'd make her give me an introduction every year. And if she did that, I'd probably give her 12-4-2.
She's nearing retirement age.
I believe that there's other ways of paying for me, right?
Yeah, I got you.
If somebody can be a center of influence, I think they deserve me. They're paying for me in a different way, and so why not? You know, but I would.
Right.
I'd hammer her in a really sweet, nice way until I got anybody that she knew.
Okay.
I was good at that. I mean, I didn't have any compulsion about that. I thought I did a good job and people needed me. I was protecting the world from the Bernie Madoffs. And so I thought it was really important for people to meet me. Let them make up their mind after they meet me. But they needed to meet me. So I just really think that's the way I handle people on the edge. Okay?
All right. Well, I think of her as a very good client. She does make referrals from time to time, but I will push her politely, as you said, to give me a referral a year and concentrate on
it. Yeah, I do.
Considering where she works and what she does, that ought to be fairly easy for her to do, I would think.
Yeah, she likes you, right?
Yeah.
You made her a lot of money. You're not taking advantage of her. You're making a lot of money. She's making a lot of money, and life's good.
Oh, yeah, she's done very, very well.
Right. She probably has American funds or something like that, right? Okay.
Yeah. She does. She's got a ton of American funds. She's got BlackRock Basic Value, a unit investment trust that's the dividend sustainability portfolio from Invesco that she rolls over every 2 years and adds to. Yeah,
all right. So memorize the VIPSA process. It'll make it easier for you to ask for introduction. Okay. You need to just memorize it. There's nothing else you can do. But the words are really valuable. You know, the words like multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process, those are good words. Okay. You need to memorize. You need to memorize those words when you're introducing Supernova, and you need to memorize the value VIPSA words when you're going for an introduction, because you'll do better. You know, you'll do better when you introduce
I believe that multi-generational planning thing works. I haven't called it that, but that's what I've been doing. I want to meet their kids.
Well,
their grandkids right. when they become of age. Set up
403Bs, yeah.
403Bs, doing all those sort of things to help the client
right.
get where they want to go. And then that usually leads to the kids, if I've done a good job there and the kid's graduating college and doesn't have any damn debt, you know,
right.
that works. All right.
Okay. So the VIPSA process, value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. Okay. So if you look in Bill Cates' book, you'll see VIPS. We added the A.
So what's
VA's
the
very important.
Value, importance?
Permission, suggestion, advice. So in the old Xerox selling skills days, we had to establish the rationale for the call. Okay? And then you transition to the presentation. So in this case, establishing the rationale for asking for an introduction is done with the V, which is value. You ask the value question. What is your lady's name that is going to give you an introduction?
Joanne.
Okay, so you say, Joanne, let me ask you a question, if I may. What is it that you valued, or what are the three things that you valued the most in working with us over the last couple of years?
Although we could probably get away with the last couple of decades.
Right.
Okay.
But we don't want to do that. We want it fairly recent in their mind, okay? So what are the three things that you value the most from working with us over the last couple of years?
Okay.
And she'll tell you. And the third one's usually the most important. And then what you want to ask is, you know, Joanne, if we could do anything more for you or improve our service, what would you suggest for us? And that establishes the legitimacy of the first question. Becomes like a survey. Okay? Now you can stop there, Rhett, if you want to. And you're good, because you've learned a lot. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But typically, when she's giving you those three things, she just moved from the other side of the desk to your side of the desk. Now she's selling you and your team.
And what else we need to do to make her experience better.
Right. So now she's part of the team. See, she's helping you and she's praising you.
Okay.
All right. So now what we want to do is, since she's already helping us, right, we want to have her help us some more. So what we say is, Joanne, if you have a couple minutes, that's permission. If you have a couple minutes, what I'd like to do, with your permission, is do a little bit of brainstorming. And she'd go, what? What about? About who else would value this as much as you have? Would that be all right? Now, I have one guy that says, what I'd like to do is do a little brainstorming in a week. So I'd like you to think about who else would value this as much as you have. And I'll call you and we'll just go through it. And he does that, does it all the time with everybody. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you need to wait a week. I think she can do it right there. Okay. Now this comes to suggestion. So, you know, people hate essay questions. So you want to have sort of multiple choice is easier. So you want to make it easy for her to think about it. So let's start with brainstorming and think of this as concentric circles, Joanne. Let's start with the one that is the closest to you, and that's your family and your closest friends. And what I'd like you to do is just sort of eliminate people. And then if you think of somebody that would be a good fit, let's talk about them. So what about your parents? And then what about your closest neighbors, your closest friends, childhood friends, people that you still are very close to? Any of them do you think would be a good fit? Meaning they need to have the ability, right? They need to have the money. Nope, nope. Yes, my brother, selling his business. Okay, we got, all right, what's his brother's name? Rick. Okay, write that down. Now you go on to the next one. This is the next circle now. This is neighbors, friends, people you might play bridge with, people that you know from the garden club, people you know from work, and other folks that you think would be a good fit and maybe have mentioned the fact that they're not completely satisfied with their situation now. Well, I got this guy at work, and I got this neighbor, and I got this. Now, all you do is take their names down at this point. And then the final circle is, let's just spend a minute on people that you know would be kind of game changers for a business person like myself. Somebody that if I got them, wow, that'd be something. That'd be big. People you know, but not as close. Who comes to mind there? Well, my boss. Okay, write his name. What's his name? Okay. Now you say, okay, now we've got six names here. Let's circle back. And based on what you know, who do you think would need us the most on this list? Well, it's my brother. He's selling his business. Now you profile Rick. And you ask a lot of questions. That's all you do. You forget about the rest. Concentrate on Rick. And then the final question is the advice question. You know Rick a lot better than I ever will. How would you suggest that we meet?
Like a spy behind the lines.
Right. How would you suggest that we meet? And she go, well, I don't know. When do you talk to him? Well, I talk to him every day, or I talk to him every week. Where does it, and you said he lives in the same town. Do you get together? Yeah, we get together every Sunday. When else? Well, we usually get together on Tuesday for coffee. Okay, well, let's see. Today is Monday, right? And I always make sure they remember what day it is. Today is Monday, right? Okay. So you're going to talk to your brother this week, right? Right, okay. Why don't you suggest that we meet for coffee next Tuesday? Would that work? Yeah. All right, so today's Monday. Why don't I, if I don't hear from you, by Friday, I'll send you a text, email, or I'll give you a call. Would that work? What would be best? Oh, a phone call. Okay, I'll call you. Terrific. And we're going to meet at such and such. Okay, great. So you pin it down. You know what you're going to do. Now, what's the difference between this and what you normally get or the average person gets? I'm not saying you because you're not good at this, but the average person loses something when getting into the business of introductions. What do they lose?
What do you mean?
They lose control.
Oh,
they
gotcha.
Lose control. See? You've maintained control throughout this whole process. What do they typically do? Oh, I'll have my brother call you. Oh, great. That'd be fine. Thanks. Bye. Now, what happened? An amateur, your client, is now in the business of trying to sell her brother on calling you, a stranger.
Which isn't going to happen.
Which is never going to happen. Okay?
Even if she
rather not have. We refuse that, by the way. Okay, we refuse that. That
will
not happen.
The first resistance she gets, she'll fold.
Right.
Because she really doesn't want to do it.
So what are the three acceptable ways to get introduced? One, in person. Best, by far, by 50 times.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, by phone. He's out of town. He lives in North Carolina. Let's do a conference call. Perfect. you introduce me, chat it up a bit, and then just step off the line. Number three, email introduction. A far, far third, but the only other acceptable way.
Okay.
Yep. This will increase your likelihood of closing by 50%. If not more. Maybe it's 70%.
Okay.
Okay. Do you see?
Yeah.
Now, I recorded this for your benefit, as usual. So make sure you listen to it a few times.
Okay.
You should memorize this. You want to memorize it. Memorize it. Don't try and remember it. Memorize it. It'll be
okay.
A great tool for you. It's a
All
great
right.
tool.
Okay?
Okay.
Yep.
That's all we have time for today, but thank you.
Well, thank you very much. The good news is I'm already for chapter 11.
I know. You're a week ahead. It's a miracle.
No, I already did it. All right. I'll talk to you later, Rob. Have a great week.
Okay. Thanks,
Rob. Bye.